Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Checking for Understanding Formative Assessment Techniques for Your Classroom by Douglas Fisher and Nancy Frey is a professional education book focused on formative assessment in K-12 classrooms. Its central concern is the gap between a teacher assuming that students understand a lesson and the later evidence that many did not. Rather than treating assessment as an event that happens after instruction, the book presents it as a continuous process embedded in classroom talk, writing, tasks, questioning, and student responses. Fisher and Frey explain practical techniques teachers can use to identify misconceptions, gather evidence of learning, and adjust instruction before misunderstanding becomes fixed. The book is designed as a classroom guide rather than a theoretical treatise, with attention to strategies that can be used across grade levels and subject areas. Its purpose is to help teachers replace vague signals of comprehension with more reliable evidence that shows what students know, what they partly understand, and what they still need to learn. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why simple yes or no checks often miss student misunderstanding. A central problem addressed in the book is the unreliability of informal confirmation methods, such as asking whether everyone understands. Fisher and Frey emphasize that students may nod, remain silent, or claim understanding for reasons that have little to do with actual learning. Some students do not yet know what they do not understand, while others may avoid public embarrassment or assume that confusion is their own fault. This makes surface-level agreement a weak source of instructional evidence. The book reframes checking for understanding as a deliberate search for visible signs of thinking. The teacher is not merely asking for compliance or attention, but looking for evidence that students can explain, apply, question, or represent the concept being taught. This distinction matters because formative assessment has value only when it reveals something that can guide the next instructional move. By showing why common checks are insufficient, the book gives teachers a rationale for using more structured techniques. The point is not to make assessment more complicated, but to make it more trustworthy. A quick response, written explanation, discussion sample, or performance task can expose patterns that a general question would hide. Secondly, using oral language to make student thinking visible in real time. The book gives significant attention to oral language because classroom talk is one of the fastest ways to detect understanding while instruction is still underway. Fisher and Frey treat speaking and listening not only as communication skills, but also as assessment opportunities. When students explain a process, respond to a peer, summarize a concept, or participate in structured discussion, teachers can hear the quality of their reasoning. Oral techniques are especially useful because they reveal partial understandings, vocabulary gaps, and misconceptions that may not appear in a short written answer. The value of these strategies depends on intentional structure. If only a few confident students speak, the teacher receives a distorted picture of class learning. The book, therefore, stresses approaches that broaden participation and make listening purposeful. Accountable discussion, partner talk, and teacher prompting can help students articulate ideas with evidence rather than offer brief or vague answers. Oral language also supports immediate feedback. A teacher can clarify a misconception, ask a follow-up question, or redirect the group before moving on. In this sense, talk becomes both assessment and instruction, giving students opportunities to refine their thinking while giving teachers usable evidence. Thirdly, written responses is evidence that students can organize and apply ideas. Fisher and Frey also present writing as a practical method for checking understanding across subject areas. And written language gives teachers a different kind of evidence than oral response because it requires students to organize ideas, choose language, and make relationships explicit. A student may appear to follow a lesson during discussion yet struggle to explain the same idea in writing. Short written tasks, learning logs, summaries, quick writes, graphic organizers, and other written products can reveal whether students can identify main points, connect evidence to claims, or distinguish between related concepts. The book treats writing for assessment as broader than formal essays. Its purpose is often diagnostic and formative, not final evaluation. This matters because low-stakes writing can be used frequently without turning every check into a graded assignment. Teachers can scan responses for patterns, notice which terms are misused, and identify where instruction should be retaught or extended. Written checks also create a record of learning over time. Compared with a momentary verbal answer, a written response can be revisited, compared, and used to support student reflection. In this way, writing helps teachers move from impressions of understanding to concrete artifacts of thought. Fourthly, engagement techniques that gather evidence from more than the most vocal students. One of the practical strengths of the book is its focus on response techniques that increase participation while also producing assessment information. Traditional questioning often relies on volunteers, which means the teacher may hear mainly from students who are competent, quick, or already successful. Fisher and Frey highlight the need for methods that make more students respond, such as response cards, signals, partner exchanges, audience response systems, and other whole class participation structures. The assessment value of these techniques is that they widen the sample of evidence. Instead of assuming that a correct answer from one student represents the whole class, the teacher can see whether understanding is shared, uneven, or absent. These approaches also help students stay cognitively active because they know they will be asked to process and respond, not simply observe. However, the book does not present engagement as an end in itself. A lively activity is useful only if it provides interpretable evidence about learning. The teacher still must design prompts that target the intended concept and then use the responses to make instructional decisions. The strongest response techniques, therefore, combine participation, accountability, and diagnostic clarity. Lastly, connecting formative evidence to feedback, reteaching, and future assessment, the book repeatedly connects checking for understanding to instructional action. Formative assessment is not simply a collection of activities. It is a cycle in which teachers gather evidence, interpret it, and respond. Fisher and Frey discuss techniques such as projects, performances, tests, and common formative assessments as ways to examine understanding at different levels of complexity. Projects and performances can show whether students can transfer learning into authentic or extended tasks. While tests and common assessments can help teachers identify patterns across individuals, groups, or classrooms, the key is that results should inform teaching rather than merely sort students. If evidence shows a shared misconception, the teacher may need to reteach using a different representation or model. If only some students are struggling, guided instruction or targeted feedback may be more appropriate. This connection aligns with the author's broader work on purposeful instruction, including gradual release of responsibility and the framework for intentional and targeted teaching. The book stands out because it treats formative evidence as part of a responsive teaching system. Assessment becomes meaningful when it changes what the teacher does next and helps students understand the gap between current performance and learning goals. In conclusion, checking for understanding is best suited for classroom teachers, instructional coaches, teacher educators, and school leaders who want practical ways to make formative assessment more routine and useful. New teachers can benefit from its clear explanation of why apparent student agreement is not enough evidence of learning. Experienced teachers may recognize some strategies, but the value lies in the organized collection of methods and the consistent emphasis on using evidence to adjust instruction. The book is especially useful for educators who want techniques that fit into daily lessons rather than assessment systems that require extensive preparation or separate testing. Time. Its practical benefit is that it helps teachers gather better information about student thinking through talk, writing, response systems, performances, and common assessments. Its intellectual benefit is the shift from assessment as measurement after teaching to assessment as a guide during teaching. Compared with broader books on assessment theory, this volume stands out for its classroom immediacy and its attention to multiple evidence sources. Compared with lists of teaching activities, it is more focused because each technique is tied to the specific purpose of identifying understanding and misunderstanding. The result is a concise, usable guide for educators who want assessment practices that directly support learning decisions. If you would like to support Douglas Fisher, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.